Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this morning, reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 18, Parikshit, cursed by a Brahmana boy, text number 16. Sa vai Mahabhagavata Parikshit Ina Pavargakyam Adabra Budhi Gyanena Vyasiki Shabditena Beje Kagendra Dvaja Para Mulam Savai Mahabhagavata Parikshit Yena Pavargakyam Adhabrabudhi Ganena Vayasaki Sabditena Beje Kagendra Dvaja Padamulam Savaya Mahabhagavata Parikshit Yena Pavargakyam Adhabrabhudi Gyanena Vayasaki Sabditena Vijekagendra Vijapadamulam Savai Mahabhagavata Parikshit Yena Pavarghakyam Adhambrabhuri Khanena Vayasaki Sabditena Vijekagendra Vijapadamulam Subditena Deje Kugendra Vijapadamulam Bhitika Kendran Vajapanam. Matajis. Subditena Sava Mahabhagavata Pariksit Nena Pavargakyam Lavdara. Savai Mahabhagavata Parikshit Nina Pavargakyam Adabhuri Ganena Vyasaki Sabdite Veje Kavanga Vijapadamulam Sa He Vai, certainly, Mahabhagavata, first-class devotee, Parikshit, the king, Yena, by which, Apavargakyam, by the name of liberation, Adabra, fix, Buddhi, intelligence, Jnanena, by knowledge, Vyasiki, the son of Vyas, Shabditena, vibrated by, Beje, taken to, Kaga Indra, Garuda, the king of the birds, Dvaja, flag, Padamulam, soles of the feet. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace. Srila Prabhupada ki. O Suta Goswami, please describe those topics of the Lord by which Maharaj Parikshit, whose intelligence was fixed on liberation, attained the lotus feet of the Lord, who was the shelter of Garuda, the king of birds. Those topics were vibrated by the son of Vyas. Srila Sukadev, purport. There is some controversy among the students on the path of liberation. Such transcendental students are known as impersonalists and devotees of the Lord. The devotee of the Lord worships the transcendental form of the Lord, whereas the impersonalist meditates upon the glaring effulgence or the bodily rays of the Lord, known as the Brahma Jyoti. Here in this verse it is said that Maharaj Parikshit attained the lotus feet of the Lord by instructions and knowledge delivered by the son of Vyasadeva, Srila Sukadeva Goswami. Sukadeva Goswami was also an impersonalist in the beginning, as he himself has admitted in the Srimad Bhagavatam 2.1.9. But later on, he was attracted by the transcendental pastimes of the Lord and thus became a devotee. Such devotees with perfect knowledge are called Mahabhagavatas, or first-class devotees. There are three classes of devotees, namely the Prakrita, Madhyama, and Mahabhagavata. The Prakrita, or third-class devotees, are temple worshippers, without specific knowledge of the Lord and the Lord's devotees. The Madhyama, or the second-class devotee, knows well the Lord, the Lord's devotees, the neophytes, and the non-devotees also. But the Mahabhagavatas, or the first-class devotee, sees everything in relation with the Lord and the Lord present in everyone's relation. The Mahabhagavata, therefore, does not make any distinction, particularly between a devotee and non-devotee. Maharaj Parikshit was such a Mahabhagavat devotee because he was initiated by a Mahabhagavat devotee, Srila Sukadeva Goswami. He was equally kind, even to the personality of Kali, and what to speak of others. So there are many instances in the transcendental histories of the world of an impersonalist who later became a devotee, but a devotee has never become an impersonalist. This very fact proves that on the transcendental steps, the step occupied by the devotee is higher than the step occupied by the impersonalist. It is also stated in the Bhagavad Gita 12:5 that persons stuck on the impersonal step undergo more sufferings than achievement of reality. Therefore, knowledge imparted by Sukadeva Goswami unto Maharaj Parikshit helped him attain the service of the Lord. In this stage of perfection is called Upavarga, or the perfect stage of liberation. Simple knowledge of liberation is material knowledge. Actual freedom from material bondage is called liberation. But attainment of the transcendental service of the Lord is called the perfect stage of liberation. Such a stage is attained by knowledge and renunciation, as we have already explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.12. And perfect knowledge, as delivered by Srila Sukadeva Goswami, results in the attainment of the transcendental service of the Lord. Om Gyanatamanandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshrim Malitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukham Kotava Chalang Pungun Lang Hayate Gurim Yat Kripa Taraham Vande Shigurum Dinataranam Vancha Kalpati Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyavacha Patitanam Pavane Vyo Vaishnave Vyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasri Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Maharaj Parikshit was a great devotee, not just liberated, but attained perfect liberation, which is devotional service. But to attain this devotional service, of course he had this knowledge prerequisite. Therefore it's stated, Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga Siksharthma Eka Purushapura Sri Krishna Chaitanya Sarirari Kipambhutir Yastam Aham Papadyaya, that Lord Chaitanya came to give us knowledge, renunciation, and ultimately devotional service. So this knowledge is very important. Therefore, Krishna, he comes and he gives us this knowledge, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. And then Lord Chaitanya comes. He doesn't give us that much new knowledge, but he gives us the Shikshashtika, and he instructs, Yare Deka Tare Ka Krishna Upadesh Amara Gyayagu Hanataridesh. Instruct everyone of the teachings of Krishna as they are given in the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. So he's instructing, give this knowledge out, you know, so that people can hear about the truth. And from hearing comes understanding. Just like when I first read the Bhagavad Gita, I was thinking, after reading it, I was thinking, wow, it'd be a good idea to serve Krishna. And this is the result of hearing, that one wants to serve Krishna. So this one verse, Prabhupada mentions this verse, Chuchvadanhana Muniya Jnana Vairagya Yuktiya Pachin Yatmani Chatmanam Bhakta Shruta Grihitya, that the seriously inquisitive sage or student well equipped with knowledge and detachment, realizes the absolute truth by engaging in devotional service. So, well-equipped. We have to become well-equipped with this knowledge. Prabhupada therefore said that he wanted his disciples to learn the books like a lawyer knows his law books. When he was in Mexico City, he told the devotees that they should have 5 hours of classes. He said, just like in the universities, you know, you have a class and then you have a little break and then you can have another class and you have a little break. So this knowledge is so important that we understand, try to understand this knowledge that's been given to us, kindly given to us by Srila Prabhupada. In the first sentence, Prabhupada says that there is some controversy among the students on the path of liberation and the devotees. So when Prabhupada was preaching in India, he didn't get much success because there's so much information from the Vedas. And it's kind of unclear for a lot of people. And Prabhupada would be preaching about Krishna and so many times they would say, well, why Krishna? Why not Lord Shiva? Why not Durga? Why not Vishnu? Why Krishna? But when he came to America, that wasn't there. He just taught purely about Krishna, and because he was so pure, devotees accepted and surrendered to Krishna. So we're very fortunate that we have this pure knowledge given to us by Krishna and commented on by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was preaching at MIT, big top university. And in the discourse he said, so why isn't there no knowledge? There's no course where you could learn about the soul. Why is there not this knowledge by which you could understand what is most important? And the students like, yeah, why can't we learn about this? I mean, Socrates, the father of modern philosophy, he spoke about it. And they killed him for it. Kali Yuga, right? So, this knowledge is so important. It should be taught. Unfortunately, it's not being taught so much. Actually, there is some professors that are using Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita in universities. And of course we have Garuda Prabhu, who also uses Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. But this knowledge has to be given out so that people can hear the truth. Yeah. The most intelligent person will hear and come to an understanding about what the goal of life is. The next level is person has to experience. Yeah. And it's said that a fool knows no other way. The best way to learn is by hearing, getting this knowledge and hearing. The second is to experience. Yeah. So, and therefore it's stated by Krishna to Uddhava, Shruti Pratyaksam Aitinam Anumanam Chatushtayam. There's four evidences by which one can understand the temporary, illusory nature of this world. The first one, Shruti. Hearing. We have to hear. Hear from who? Hear from Krishna. Hear from the devotees. And from this hearing comes understanding. We understand who we are. We understand who Krishna is. We understand what the goal of life is. Shruti pratyaksam. Pratyaksam means experience. Direct experience. That's the next level. in Shrutipachaksam Aityang, traditional wisdom, Anumanam, logical induction. So these are the four types of evidence by which we can understand the temporary illusory nature of this world. But Shruti, most important. And therefore we have to hear regularly. And hear nicely. Srimbatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hudyantasto Hyabhadrani Vidunoti Suhitsatam. That Sri Krishna, the personality of God, it was a super soul, the Paramatma in the hearts of all living entities, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses the desire from the heart of the devotee who simply relishes his messages when properly heard and chanted. So just see how kind Krishna is. All we have to do is hear attentively, and Krishna will be so pleased with us that he'll cleanse our heart. This is the kindness of Krishna. We have to hear nicely. And then we attain this devotional service. To attain this devotional service, we need the DDD, devotion, determination and discrimination. So we have to discriminate in our life about what we do. Yat karoshi, yat asnasi, yat jahosi, didasi, yat pasyasi, kaunte, tat kurusa, mararpanam. Prabhupada says in one purport in the Srimad Bhagavatam, this one verse is the summary of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. All that we do it for Krishna. So many things we can do in this world. If we do things for our sense gratification, then that causes bondage. We do things for Krishna, then we get liberated. So you have to discriminate about what we do. Anukuryasya sankalpa pratikuryasya vajna. This is a type of surrender to accept that which is favorable and reject that which is unfavorable. We have to discriminate about who we associate with. Believe it or not, there was one instance where one devotee who had been in the movement for some time, he came to the temple to visit. Prabhupada was there. And Prabhupada told him, it's good that you left because you are an enemy of our society. So people like that, we don't associate with. People who aren't of good character. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that in Kali Yuga there's devotees that they dress like devotees, but they're not devotees. So we associate with people that are seriously engaged in Krishna consciousness. Yeah. I remember in Miami there was a devotee in the temple smoking marijuana. And another devotee I heard, drinking alcohol in the temple. So we have to be careful about our association. And sometimes devotees, they go back to their family and, see their family and see their friends, and you don't see them again. So we have to be careful about even our family members. Of course, we want to be... hospitable. We don't want to completely reject our family members, have some relation, but we got to be careful. And sometimes it happens that devotees go to their home, see their family, and turn their family into devotees. Satyachinoy Prabhu, he went to visit his family, and his mother became a devotee, his father became a devotee, his brother became a devotee. Anybody else? Nephews became devotees. That's pretty good. So we can give our association. But you have to be careful. We take their association, it can be dangerous. In India, it's a very common thing that someone becomes a devotee, and initially the parents are very upset, and then they preach to their parents and family members, and it's like, I mean, it happens so much. It's like about 90% of the time, the parents become devotees too. It's amazing. That's one of the auspicious things about India. The culture is there. People are just sleeping. So when it's given to them and in a nice way, then they wake up. So we have to discriminate. Even subtly. You know, every day we have to discriminate. There's things will come into our mind. You know, some nonsense will come into our mind. Hare Krishna. We don't want these things to stay in our mind. Yeah. But remembrance of Krishna, we want that to continue in our mind as much as possible. But maya comes. Yato yato nishchalati manas chanchalamastram tatastato nyamnyatad atmanyevasamnya. From wherever the mind wanders due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must bring it back under the control of the self. So much discrimination has to be there subtly in our mind. To reject the maya and accept Krishna. And the more we do this, the more we're going to be Krishna conscious. And then determination. We need to be very determined in this royal journey back to Krishna. Because it's not easy. It's not easy to surrender to Krishna in Kali Yuga. It's very difficult. Very difficult. Radhana Swami was speaking about this verse and he said, actually, it's very, very, very difficult to surrender to Krishna in Kali Yuga. But it's possible. It's possible. By the mercy of Krishna, by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by the mercy of Lord Nityananda, by the mercy of the Vaishnavas, it's possible. But we have to have great determination. Bhogai svari prasaktanam taya prachetasam vyavasi atmikabhut samadhanabhidhiyate. In the minds of those who are too attached to material opulence and sense gratification, the fixed determination to engage in devotional service doesn't take place. So we have to pray for that determination. Prabhupada quoted this one poem by one British poet. Ours is not to ask why, but to do and to die. Yeah. So we have to serve Krishna throughout this life. And then when we leave our body, we go back to Krishna. This is the goal. A few days ago, a student asked me, so, what is the goal of your life? All this, you have all this, these books here, what's the goal? I said, to love God. He said, oh, that's very good. Very good. He was a student of religion. And he appreciated that so much. And it's a wonderful goal. And it's our natural position. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhu Kavanoi. Shravanadi Sudha Chitti Kuriyadoi. This is our position. We're servants of Krishna. And this service attitude, it awakens by this hearing about Krishna. Gradually it will completely awaken in us by this hearing the holy name of Krishna, by hearing the messages that are given to us by Krishna. And if we hear nicely, then we get great determination. Because Prabhupada, he had this incredible determination to spread Krishna consciousness throughout the world. So if we hear the words of Prabhupada, we'll get that determination. Just like in the early lectures, 1966, it was like Prabhupada was pleading with these new bhaktas, just pleading with them, begging them, surrender to Krishna. Such intensity, such determination, Srila Prabhupada. So by hearing from Srila Prabhupada, we can pick up that determination also. And devotion. Devotion is what is most important. I looked it up on the internet. How many times this word devotion and devoted are in Prabhupada's books? About 50,000 times. This is Prabhupada. Filled with so much devotion. If you have a lot of devotion, it comes out. Right? So it came out, Srila Prabhupada, so much devotion. And we could catch that devotion by hearing of the devotion of Srila Prabhupada. When Krishna was here, he was invited to the home of Duryodhana. He wanted to capture Krishna. He arranged a big feast for Krishna. Krishna didn't eat one bite because there was no devotion. Then he tried to capture Krishna. What did Krishna do? He showed his universal form. Try capturing Krishna. But then what did Krishna do? He went to the home of Vidura. And Vidura, pure devotee of the Lord, so much devotion, he offered Krishna a banana, but in his ecstasy, in his devotion, he offered the banana peel and threw the banana out the window. And Krishna relished the banana peel. Yeah. Because there was so much devotion in Vidura. So can anybody think of another time where someone tried to capture Krishna? Mother Yasoda. Yeah. The month of Damodar is coming up Sunday. Kaliyavana. Well, he tried to kill Krishna. He tried to kill Krishna, not capture. So Mother Yasoda had so much devotion for Krishna that she caught him. She also wanted to tie him up. So she got the rope, right? And she tried to tie it, but two fingers too short. Got more rope. Still, two fingers too short. Got more rope. And by then, it became a scene in the village. You know, Mother Yasoda, can't you see? The gopis are telling her, you can't tie him up. And she was determined. She had determination. No, even if I have to get all the rope in Vrindavan, I'm going to tie him up. And then she got tired, you know. And then Krishna gave mercy. And he let her tie him up. So the acharyas say that these two fingers represent mercy and determination. Determination. She was determined. And because she was so determined, Krishna gave mercy. All right, tie me up. So we could learn from the residents of Vrindavan also. Determination. And if we are very determined, Krishna gives mercy. and we can capture Krishna. He can only be captured by devotion. It's the only way Krishna can be captured. So we can pray for this also. Pray for this devotion. It's there, actually. It's in our heart. It's got to come out. And when it does, then we experience unlimited happiness. Because everybody wants love. Even the karmis out there, practically everybody is just trying to enjoy their senses, right? But they all want love. But there's they're misunderstanding what is love and what is lust. So we're offering real love. Real love. Not this flickering bodily function. When I speak to the students now, I tell them that, you know, I don't know if I mentioned this in my last class, but anyway. I tell the students there's two types of happiness. There's material and spiritual. Our spiritual happiness means it's always increasing. Always increasing. That's what we want. Everybody wants this, right? Material happiness, it goes to a certain level and decreases. So we're being offered this opportunity to experience unlimited happiness. So is there any question or comment? Yeah. The microphone is just now coming by Krishna Pad. One other thing I wanted to say also is that this even Krishna, he says in the Bhagavad Gita, bhakti-yama-bhujanati yavanyas-chagni-tattva, that one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead only by devotional service. So this is what is most attractive to Krishna. This is what he wants to see in us. So yeah, go ahead. Okay.
My first question is, you're saying hearing is most important. What if someone is deaf?
Speak louder in the microphone.
Okay. You're saying hearing is most important. What if someone is deaf? Is sign language the same as hearing for them?
Repeat the question. Oh, you want me to repeat it? The question is that hearing is most important, but what if someone is deaf? They can't hear. So how are they going to be able to hear the holy name or the message? Or, of course, they could read still, but to hear the holy name, yeah, it's very, very unfortunate to be deaf. It's a great curse to be deaf. They can't hear the holy name. They can hear the philosophy. They can read. They can read about Krishna. They can read the holy name also. They may not be able to pronounce it. But they can still become pure devotees just by hearing, by reading. Yeah. Nine processes. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Parasiva, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasam, Sakyamatna, Nibedam. Mara says that yeah, it gets prashadam. So instead, for that person, there's no hearing. They don't get the ninth one. They don't get, or actually, the first one, shravanam. They don't get the first one.
My other question was, Yuri gave that example of Vidura offering the banana pills, and Krishna liked that even more than Duryodhana's offering. I just had sometimes when I'm offering bhoga, I'm mechanically saying the prayers to spiritual master and then Lord Chaitanya, and it almost sounds mechanical. And I was thinking one time when I was doing this that maybe it'd be better if I just said my own prayer. It would be more from the heart. So But we are given a process that we should chant certain prayers and mantras to offer boga. So what would be better, if you said a different prayer from the heart, or if you just mechanically said the standard prayers?
Do them both. Do them both. Yeah.
That note, there is. I have the prayer Vishnu John Swami used to, when he did the regular offerings, he also said a wonderful prayer.
Loudly.
Two or three sentences, Vishnu John Swami.
So he made up some prayers also that you could say.
Yeah,
while
he would say after.
Well, he had a lot of devotions, so I'm sure they're nice prayers.
Yeah. It's going to be in the cookbook. But my question, since I got the mic, first of all, I wanted to say thank you. You increased my devotion manyfold. And I was curious that in the purport, Prabhupada said that Maharaj Parikshit was initiated by Sukadev Goswami. Can you say a little more about that? I mean, did he get diksha or whatever?
We don't hear about him, you know, there being a ceremony, initiation ceremony, a diksha initiation ceremony. But he certainly is a siksha guru. He's, you know, everybody's siksha guru. So that's, yeah. Yes, Maharaj.
I just wanted to come back to Ananta Kirtan's nice question about chanting from the
heart.
Put
the microphone close, Maharaj.
Oh, I'm sorry. Chanting from the heart or just chanting mechanically? Well, the prayers that we have, for example, let us take the prayer that we say, Sharira Vijijal Jujendriya Tahikal. It is a prayer of the heart. The question is whether you want to say it from the heart or whether you want to simply say it mechanically. For example, when I generally do that, Sharira Vijijal, I also do the English. So when they have, oh my Lord, this material body is a lump of ignorance and the senses are a network of paths leading to death. Somehow or other, we have fallen to this ocean of material sense enjoyment. And of all the senses, the tongue is the most voracious and uncontrolled. Very difficult to conquer over the tongue. But you, dear Krishna, are so very kind and have given us this nice prasadam, spiritual food, just to conquer the tongue. So now we take this prasadam to our full satisfaction and in doing so, glorify your lordship, Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. And in love, call out for the help of Lord Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, and Srila Prabhupada. Does that sound like it's mechanical? It's a very loving prayer, very appreciative prayer.
I think what he was talking about was when he's offering food, boga, to the Lord, right? When he's offering boga to the Lord. You know, we say the prayers of you know, Prabhupada and the Lord Chaitanya and Krishna.
Yeah.
So he was saying that...
The three prayers? I mean,
yeah, yeah. So he's saying when he offers boga to the Lord,
yeah,
should he say something more? And I just said, yeah, do them both, yeah. But that's
can
also
be done
good.
From the heart. Those can also be done from the heart.
Yeah.
The question is one of attitude.
Yeah.
But one of understanding and gratitude,
yeah,
that Krishna has given us this.
Yeah.
Now let me offer something, yeah, back, even though I can never offer back what he has given me, but at least I can make the effort and obtain his recognition of my effort.
Yeah, thank you very much, Maharaj.
Yeah.
Yes. Archita Prabhu. Okay, go ahead.
Thank you very much for the wonderful class. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is mentioning that there are three kinds of devotees. He said the third class of, you know, devotees, because of they do not have much knowledge about Krishna consciousness, they are engaged in the deity worship. So is that means the devotees here, you know, New Dwarka, who are dressing the deities, making the garlands for the deities, or doing the puja for the deities, they are all third class of devotees?
Hare Krishna. Well, I've heard in my Sankirtan classes that the pujaris should be dressing the deities, and so the Sankirtan devotees, they're inspired to go out and spread the glories of Krishna. So in this way, they can also be in the Sankirtan mission. You've heard this before? Yeah, I've heard that many times. So they should also have the preaching mood, And they should want to, when people come to the temple, Prabhupada, he would chastise the pujari. If people came to the temple and there wasn't a book to give to the people that come and see the deity. So the pujaris can also be preachers, book distributors also. So that's one thing. Archbishop Prabhu wanted to say something.
Ananda Kirtan's question about hearing, near deaf. We have to remember that these senses that we have external are different from our real senses. In other words, most of us, we go to sleep at night, we close the eyes of the body, but we wake up and we say, I saw this, I saw... What do you mean you saw? Your eyes were closed all night. I use that example a lot when I speak to students. The power of seeing, the power of hearing, smelling, touching, is actually inherent in the soul. It has nothing to do with this body. The body is just a gateway through which you see and hear and touch and experience. The real sense is the spiritual sense, not the material sense. Just like you told a story recently in a class about Bilvamangala Thakur, that he blinded himself. But when he went to Vrindavan, he saw Krishna. How do you mean he saw? His eyes were closed. He saw Krishna. He described him in his Krishna Karnamrita and so many other writings. So the power to see has nothing to do with this body. Your eyes could be blind and you can still see because the seeing is from the soul. Your ears can be deaf and you can still hear because the hearing is from the soul. It's not the body. So just because somebody may not have external eyes or external ears or whatever doesn't mean they can't see or hear. Krishna can reveal to them anything at any time because the real senses are with the soul, not with the body.
But how can they hear?
Because Krishna can reveal. How did Bilvamangala Thakur see Krishna?
But Bilvamangala Thakur, he had already known about Krishna.
No.
Before.
He blinded himself, but when he went to Vrindavan, he saw Krishna. That's my point. He saw him, and he described him carefully and clearly. Because Krishna revealed himself. It's a matter of revelation. This material body is just a covering. It's just a covering, and it doesn't limit the soul if you're actually on the platform of realization.
But Bilvamangala Thakur, he had become a pure devotee. But we're talking about, he's talking about, well, how could someone...
It can happen at any time, just like the old lady who was collecting wood in the forest. And when the bundle fell, she prayed, "My Lord Krishna, please help me." So Krishna appeared before her. You don't have to be a pure devotee. The desire has to be there, that you want to see God. Just like Prabhupada gave the example of the thief. He heard from some katha that Krishna has all these wonderful jewels. He was a thief. He went to Vrindavan. I have to find this Krishna and take his jewels. So because he was so determined, Krishna appeared before him. Okay, what do you want? You see? It's determination. It's not necessarily that you have to be on the highest level of purity. You have to just be determined to see Krishna and you'll see him. You have to be determined to hear Krishna and you'll hear him. Because the senses are with the soul, not with the body.
Okay, anybody else? I think there was Sachi Chinoy. Huh?
In regards to the question of this Prabhu Gauranga Prema, I heard one Prabhupada's memories from Pita, Prabhupada disciple, that in this particular time in regards to Puyari service, Prabhupada mentioned, he heard that I guess it was the only time he said that this is the highest service at that particular time. Prabhupada said, this is the highest service. And then actually we analyze all the activities that the Puyaris do is like the most elevated service that the gopis are doing. Dressing, feeding, touching Krishna, all the things. Whatever they're doing there, that's what they're going to be doing in the spiritual world. So therefore, it could never be like...
Oh, yeah, there's one pastime of Prabhupada. That might have happened in Mexico City.
And the third canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, where Kapila Devi is describing talking to his mother, yes, for neophytes. When you're in a very neophyte way, of course, if you have that mentality. But the potential of that service is like the highest. It couldn't be higher than that. Sometimes I even wonder myself. I say, I'm going and distributing books. But actually, you know, this is me, my opinion. When you go back to the spiritual world, you're not going to go distributing books. Everybody's a devotee already. But the Puyaris were already feeding Krishna, were already clothing Krishna, were touching Krishna, were talking to Krishna. It's like, my God, I become transcendentally envious. And I probably will, eventually I'm thinking, you know, to get more involved.
There's one pastime of Prabhupada, just on this, in Mexico City. A pujari went in to see Prabhupada with Ridhan Andamars. And Prabhupada said, this is very good that you're doing this pujari service. It's the highest service. And the pujari said, no, book distribution is more important. And Hridayananda Maharaj said, don't say no to Prabhupada. So, but Prabhupada said that. Maybe that's where you heard that. That wasn't, Prabhupada said that in Mexico City when he was visiting there. Maybe another time, yeah. So Prabhupada said, Savas Prabhu.
On this point of the deity worship, I recall that when we used to do traveling Sankirtan in the early 70s, the devotees were living in vans. So they wanted to, they asked Prabhupada, can we have Gornitai deities in the van when we travel? And Prabhupada said, this is not necessary. He said, the books are deities. If you simply take the book and you worship the book, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, that is deity worship.
Thank you. Yeah, so there's, so it's so important that we take care of the books. You know? These aren't ordinary books. These are deities. Yes, Rupa.
You know, since we're speaking about the pujari and we're speaking about preaching and the practicality of it, I'll just give an incident. A few days ago, I was doing pujari work, and we had two very prominent doctors who came in. And as we may know, that Siddha Sinai today is doing more heart operations than any other hospital on this planet. And these two doctors are actually the directors of Siddha Sinai Cardiological Department. And they both came in, and I was on the altar. They came to see me, but then they had to stay for the aarti. So before I went onto the altar, I came and spoke to them. And I told them that I need to go on the altar, but if they can stay for the aarti. And after the aarti, I came to them. And this was their analogy to me. They said, just like we are trained surgeons, and when we go into the operation theater, no one else is allowed to go with them because they are trained. He said, we felt for one moment that when you're going onto the altar, you are also trained operationally to be on the altar, to be qualified to be on the altar. Look at us. We are materially qualified, but we cannot go onto the altar. So, you know, we should also look at it that we are actually doing a very great service by being on the altar, because even professionals realize that they cannot go beyond this threshold here. They may have the highest qualifications. In addition to that, that's also preaching and awakening for them, because they also realize there is something more to what their sphere of life is. So we should also look at it from different elements, that we are actually preaching by being on the altar. Because a lot of professionals are coming here, but they cannot cross this threshold. So they also realize it's an awakening within themselves that, hey, there is something more to life than what we think we are at.
They appreciate.
Yes.
Yeah, good. Hare Krishna, thank you.